Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. In this episode, Cancer Network's Roman Fabricator spoke with Dr. Benjamin Golis from Hackensack Meridian Health about the use of pressurized intraperitoneal aerosolized chemotherapy, or PIPAC, for patients with peritoneal carcinomatosis. He described how PIPAC may offer improvements by reducing toxicity and operating times versus other standard modalities, and highlighted the potential next steps for incorporating this procedure into other treatment plans.
What do current treatment strategies look like for peritoneal carcinomatosis, and what are some strengths and limitations associated with the strategy?
For patients with peritoneal carcinomatosis, which is cancer that's either originated or has spread to the lining of the abdominal cavity, or what we call the peritoneum, currently the main treatment strategies would involve regular systemic chemotherapy, typically intravenous forms of cytotoxic chemotherapies that get administered to try to treat the cancer through the intravenous route. For carcinomatosis specifically, the other form of treatment is surgical. There's a surgical procedure which is called cytoreductive surgery, which is usually combined with hyperthermic intraperitoneal chemotherapy, or can be involved with that. So that's what we call CRS HIPEC for short. So that's a surgical procedure that involves really two major components. The first component's surgical debulking. So that involves surgery in the abdomen and pelvis to remove all gross signs of disease. So often requiring a resection of organs or part of organs. And the goal is to completely debulk or remove all visible tumor throughout the peritoneal cavity. And then with the HIPEC component, HIPEC is done at the same time. So once the debulking is done, we actually place catheters inside the peritoneal cavity. We temporarily close the abdomen, and we actually instill fluid and circulate fluid around the abdomen, and we add heated chemotherapy. So essentially using heated chemotherapy and turning the abdominal cavity into a washing machine, which we typically do for 90 minutes, and then we finish the surgical procedure. To this point, the main treatment strategies are systemic chemotherapy. The negatives of systemic therapy or systemic chemotherapy are common to chemotherapy for a number of patients are going to be things that are associated with the side effects of chemotherapy. It can be medication specific, but the real issue is that obviously with medications that are delivered intravenously that are designed to kill cancer cells throughout the body, but there's often collateral damage and that normal healthy tissues obviously get affected as well. So the side effects really vary depending on the drug or the regimens, but things that can be very common are things like obviously nausea, vomiting, reduced blood counts from bone marrow suppression and things of that nature. For CRS and HIPEC, the surgical procedure, the major drawbacks are that it's a major abdominal operation. The carcinomatosis can often be extensive. So these are typically large open abdominal surgeries, so done through a large incision. These operations can tend to be extremely lengthy, and they can also involve multiple organs being resected. So we're talking about surgeries that can sometimes last 10, 12, 14 hours, and they have a very extensive morbidity profile. So the complication rates associated with CRS and HIPEC are extremely high. And certainly adding chemotherapy into the abdominal cavity increases our chances of having post-surgical complications. Patients that undergo CRS and HIPEC are often their lengthy surgical procedures. They can be in the hospital for very long periods of time. They can have a number of complications, and they can certainly have very long, prolonged, complicated recovery. So I'd say, you know, that's definitely a major drawback of that surgical procedure.
Thank you for outlining both of those treatment regimens. What advantage might PIPEC offer over other therapeutic strategies for this patient population?
Yeah, so PIPEC is a relatively new and novel treatment. It stands for pressurized intraperitoneal aerosolized chemotherapy. This is really a minimally invasive surgical procedure. So this is a laparoscopic procedure where we don't make an open abdominal incision. Typically, we make two small incisions in the abdominal wall. We place trocars, which allow us to access the abdomen and place instruments into the abdominal cavity. It's a very minimally invasive procedure. It does not have a lot of pain or other side effects associated with it. During the procedure, once we access the abdominal cavity, we actually deliver chemotherapy directly to the tumors in the peritoneal cavity using an aerosolized form of the chemotherapy. So we're actually able to use a special device which aerosolizes the chemotherapy. We get good distribution and we use pressure within the abdominal cavity to try to help push the chemotherapy into the peritoneal lining to penetrate the tumor and get a more effective treatment that way. So the major advantage of that is that it's a minimally invasive procedure. From beginning to end, it can last anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. And typically, the patients go home the same day of the treatment. So it has a radically different impact on the patients and their recovery. It's a much more straightforward recovery. And the other advantage is that we can integrate it into a patient's other treatment without any real delays or interruptions. When we do a debulking surgery or hyperthermic chemotherapy, patients have to stop their systemic treatment for at least a month before it'll let their body recover. And then they also need to recover after the surgery before they can resume their systemic therapy. So patients can be off their chemotherapy, at best it's a 2 to 3 month period where they're off chemotherapy and not getting treatment. But certainly in larger procedures or if patients experience delayed recovery or any complications, they can be off chemotherapy 6 or 9 months, or maybe never receive chemotherapy. With PIPEC, there really is no interruption in their care. Patients can stay on their regular treatment doses. We work the procedure into their treatment so that they can receive their treatment, go home, and generally have no interruption in their care. That's definitely a major advantage of the PIPEC approach.
Thank you for outlining those advantages. As an extension, are there any particular patient subgroups or demographics who may especially benefit from treatment with PIPEC?
Yeah, I mean, I think any patient with carcinomatosis from any source should be considered a candidate for PIPEC. The procedure certainly is relatively new in the United States. It's been being used in Europe. We're still learning the correct patients and indications, but I think any patient with peritoneal carcinomatosis is theoretically a candidate for PIPEC. I think it's particularly useful in patients that are not in a physical condition to undergo a big procedure like a CRS and HIPEC. As we mentioned, that's a major abdominal surgery. And if patients are just too deconditioned from either their cancer or from their treatment, and they're not going to withstand a large surgical procedure, PIPEC is particularly useful in that setting because it is much less of a physiologic load for the patients afterwards to recover from. Yeah, I think it definitely has a lot of utility in patients who may not currently be a candidate for CRS and HIPEC. And we're actually using it in people as a way to bridge them to potentially doing a surgical debulking down the road. Another area we found is that if patients can undergo repeated of CRS and HIPEC, but obviously, they need time in between operations to recover and regain their strength. So, if someone's just currently had a CRS HIPEC and they have a relatively early recurrence and they're not exactly ready for a repeat surgery, we can use PIPEC in that setting to sort of buy them some time and try to bridge them to a more definitive surgical debulking.
What are the next steps for improving outcomes among patients with peritoneal carcinomatosis?
Yeah, that's I think a very important question. We've discussed this stuff some of them here. I mean, patients can receive systemic chemotherapy, or they can have a radical surgical debulking plus minus hyperthermic intraperitoneal chemotherapy. So I really think we don't really fully understand the utility of it or the best places to use it, but the procedure is that we can deliver chemotherapy directly to the tumors within the peritoneal cavity, but I think the major thing is that it's not a huge stress to the patients. It's a relatively straightforward procedure with a relatively straightforward recovery. The way that we're using it, our goal is to use it not just as sort of a one-off procedure, but is to incorporate it into a patient's treatment and actually do serial PIPECs over the course of every 2 to 3 months. So Our goal when we see a patient with peritoneal carcinomatosis that is a candidate for PIPEC and we think it will add to their care and improve their outcomes is usually to be using this in a serial fashion. So patients are often receiving systemic therapy, but our goal is to incorporate PIPEC into the treatment by doing the procedure over time. Every 2 months is currently what we're doing. And, you know, I think there's a lot of advantages to that is that carcinomatosis is classically very difficult to follow and determine on radiographic imaging. Evaluating peritoneal disease with CT scans and MRIs can be difficult, often the disease can be small but relatively diffuse. So one of the advantages of doing serial laparoscopies with the PIPEC is that we're getting eyes on the peritoneum. We're able to visualize what's going on, see what the response is, and we do biopsies every time that we're in there. And we look at the tissue and we can actually look at the histology to see what kind of response we're getting to the pressurized chemotherapy. So we're not only treating the peritoneum, but I think we're really doing a much better job of evaluating the response of the disease in real time. We're looking at it with our eyes. We can see every 2 months what does it look like in here, but more importantly, probably, is what does it look like under a microscope? Are we seeing an effective treatment pattern? Is it working? And it sort of helps determine the trajectory of the disease and helps guide the treatment. So not only is it therapeutic, but I also think it's giving us a better opportunity to evaluate the disease visually, but also under the microscope. Currently, we're using it in this serial fashion, which I think is a great advantage. I think in the future and now is how can we work this into other treatment strategies, meaning we use systemic therapy in a neoadjuvant fashion, right? That means just delivering chemotherapy prior to surgical resection. And there's a number of advantages to that in certain diseases. I think the same thing would apply here for diseases that have a high prevalence for peritoneal dissemination, things like gastric cancer, things like ovarian cancer. Is there a way that we can use this in upfront fashion? We definitely don't know the answer to that. So I think there's a lot of interesting and intriguing ways that we can incorporate this into patients' care.
What do you hope your colleagues take away from this conversation?
For patients with peritoneal carcinomatosis, I think the most important thing is that we have options beyond standard systemic chemotherapy. Classically, these patients with peritoneal carcinomatosis, obviously, this is stage four disease. This is very advanced disease. And I think historically, patients are either really offered systemic chemotherapy or comfort care and no treatment at all and just palliative measures. But the reality is, in the era that we're in, we certainly have surgical options in medically fit and appropriate patients. But cytoreductive surgery with hyperthermic intraperitoneal chemotherapy is a huge hammer, right? It can really it certainly interrupt their care, but it can certainly be detrimental. It's very prone to complications. It's very prone to prolonged recovery. PIPEC is a new treatment and a new potential option that doesn't replace systemic chemotherapy, but I do think it definitely can work in conjunction with systemic chemotherapy. So we can sort of offer this bimodal approach where we're directly treating the peritoneal disease and offering IV chemotherapy. For physicians treating patients with peritoneal carcinomatosis, it's just to know that this exists, to realize that certainly not every patient is going to be a candidate for this, and we're still learning the utility. And I think referral to surgeons that do PIPEC and certainly HIPEC is always useful because I think that we have things that we may be able to offer that they not have not thought of. So I think just realizing there's a relatively new technology in the US. It's probably only offered at about a dozen sites in the US. And it's certainly just getting the word out that this is now an option for patients with peritoneal disease is probably number one, the most important thing. We clearly have a long way to go in terms of clinical trials and learning what are the best ways to use this. But I certainly think there are patients out there that will benefit from that. So I think referral to a center that focuses and has expertise in PIPEC for patients with peritoneal carcinomatosis is critical.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com. the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.